This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek back in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's April 30th, episode 902. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I write a song. Everybody.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning as we start to get back to normal here at the Horse Radio Network, Horses in the Morning show. However, things aren't normal across the country. We want to send our thoughts and prayers out to everybody affected by the storms in the eastern USA. Jamie, boy, how many times have we had this conversation over the recent years? Some deadly tornadoes all across and just wicked storms all across the southern part of the country and also all the way up to Ohio and now across the northeast they're expecting today. And there are stories starting to come in now of ranches and farms and horses and cows and being affected. There is a report out of, see where this was, this is in Mayflower and Vilonia, Arkansas. Apparently, we're the hardest hit with the storms 2 days ago. 15 deaths reported. It's Faulkner County. The Faulkner County SPCA said most of the farms and ranches have sustained damage, and there are numerous equine that did not make it through the storms. Those that we are assisting have deep lacerations or have been impaled by objects. Our vet is working hard to care for everyone free of charge. So our hats off to everybody out there. You know, an amazing thing yesterday, and if you could only imagine this, the girl who gets, 3 inches of rain a year, in the panhandle of Florida yesterday, they had, and they got hit by the storms most of the day, but it wasn't the tornadoes, it was rain. 24 inches of rain fell in 26 hours yesterday in Pensacola, Florida, washing away bridges and closing mile after mile of highways across the region, leaving many drivers stranded for hours. 24 inches of rain in 1 day. That's
holy smokes.
That's hurricane-level rain. So, I mean, that most hurricanes, you don't even get 24 inches of rain. That is an incredible amount of rain. Wow. So some unbelievable storms over the weekend, and our best out to all of you. We have a lot of listeners down that way, so. We're thinking about all of you, and we're hoping you're safe and your animals are safe.
Sorry about that, you guys. That's just brutal. I mean, fortunately, my in-laws were not in the path of the tornadoes this time. But you live in Tornado Alley in Oklahoma. It's on its way at some point. But we definitely are thinking about you guys.
Has it seemed like, I was talking to Jennifer about it yesterday, it seems like, especially in recent years, we've heard a lot more tornadoes in the south, Mississippi, Alabama. You know, we're used to hearing about them in Kansas and Nebraska and Oklahoma, but it just seems like, in recent years, we've been just hearing a lot more. Remember we did the fundraiser for the tornadoes that went through, what was that, Arkansas and Alabama and Mississippi a couple years ago. We did that fundraiser.
I remember tornadoes all growing up in Georgia. We had to practice every couple months in schools, like what we would do if a tornado came. And so I can't, I mean, I think being there, I probably knew about it more. So
yeah,
I don't know,
true.
But they seem, you know, I was never involved in one that was so devastating as the ones that we have seen in the past couple of years. But definitely thinking about you guys and hope your ponies are okay.
Well, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Whirlwind Wednesday Tour Edition, we open with a quick trip across the pond to visit Horse and Country TV's Victoria Spicer. And then it's an economy flight back stateside to land in the Garden State for a quick tour of Rutgers University Equine Science Center with Center Director Karen Malinowski. And to top off the tour, we will board the fun bus to the Equity MFG Celebrity Trivia Challenge. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my daily winnie goes out to our friend Lindsay White of RidersForHelmets.com for putting up with us all weekend and putting us up. We stayed at her place, and she was a great host, and we really appreciate her. Although we weren't there much, it was pretty much just asleep when you're covering Rolex. But we really do appreciate her putting us up and everything that she has done for us over the recent years as well. So thank you to Lindsay.
Well, my daily winnie goes out to somebody. You know, this stuff used to never affect me, but now it does, because Connor Joseph Tomczyk has been born. Lisa Bick Tomczyk, who's a listener of ours, finally had her baby. It's a boy, and just wanted to congratulate her. He's adorable, and congratulations, and girl, you did it. He's out. Things just get better.
This is right after a conversation we had this morning with Jamie about how she's never flying alone with her child again.
Never. I was supposed to go visit family in Atlanta next week. I canceled it. I'm not doing that again. Holy smokes. That was awful.
And it probably wasn't awful. He's a good little kid. I mean, but it's just what it is, you know?
Oh, no. He's totally good-natured. He smiles at everybody. He's so nice, but he just doesn't sit still. And he just, like, he'll leap. Thank God I had a saint of a person in the row with me, both directions, and the middle seat was open because I'll hold him, and he just dives on the person to the left and then does a chin up on the back seat and pulls himself up and starts talking to the people behind him, like talking like, bah, 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 you know. And then he realizes somebody's in front of us, so he leaps forward to there. Then he tries to get on the floor, which I'm not letting my baby on the floor of an airplane. Poop-filled stall, totally fine. Floor of an airplane, not going to happen.
He was crawling all over Rolex everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I turned him out in the pasture. You know, it's fine. But don't let him on the floor of an airplane. Those things are gross. I'm like, animal germs and poop germs and outdoor germs, those are one thing. People germs
Human
are another
Human germs
thing.
Are different.
So, Lisa, good luck. I really hope that you're able to ride a little bit more than I am. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So I know she just moved into a farm, and it's kind of on the same path that I was. So, girl, call me if you need me. Call me if you need me.
Did you see the picture, speaking of your child, baby Luke? We took a picture of baby Luke as he crawled over to Jennifer and decided to have some quiet time with Jennifer the other day at Rolex, and I posted that picture, and everybody knows Jennifer, you know, has hardly ever touched a baby in her entire life, and the comments there were really, really funny. We had some good comments. Kyle said, was the biohazard suit at the cleaners? Lisa, who just had the baby, said she kind of looks like she's in shock or frozen in fear. Robin said, hard hat and inflatable vest for Lucas or Jen. Which one?
Here's the thing that I've had to talk to my horse friends about. You know, like my friend Stephanie, she's like, I was doing something, we were at a horse show, I'm like, hold my baby. She's like, I don't hold babies. And I was like, listen, this is not a baby. This is my baby. And so it's different. So get over it. And she held
That's
him.
Funny.
Just like he tried to warm Jennifer's ice-cold heart, and I think he did it. I think he did it. He's so charming, and he's so sweet. Jennifer, comments?
He's a risk-taker is what he is. He gets that from his parents. Yeah.
He does like everybody. Man, he was going up to strange kids, and he does like everybody.
He has zero boundaries, Glenn. Zero boundaries. Everybody is his new best friend.
I wonder where he got that from.
I know, right? Shocking.
Hey, Kentucky Derby. Boy, we have to switch gears here quickly. And this week, we're having a special Derby episode on Friday. It'll be we're still going to do really bad ads at 10 o'clock, but the first hour is devoted completely to the Derby. We're going to have Derby talks. Frankie Lovato is going to be joining us again. He joins us every year because we do our Derby picks. And he'll be doing his picks as well. And then we're also getting a live report from Churchill Downs from our own Reese Koffler Stanfield, who will once again be drinking starting at 7 o'clock in the morning, tailgating in the parking lot, getting ready for the Oaks, which is the race on Friday, all the girls race on Friday. So she is there for the Oaks. She said she'll be completely in pink from head to toe. And she will be reporting to us about 9:15 on Friday morning, which means she will only be two sheets to the wind, probably
she's
three sheets by 10 o'clock.
She's fun to talk to at the Oaks. I mean, because Reese is, you know, I mean, she's a, I love her. She's a DQ. But she had a great personality, but she's a DQ, and I love to hear DQs slur their words. It makes me very happy.
Well, you'll get to hear that on Friday morning. But today, Jamie, they're doing the draw. They're all important draws. We saw in the movie 50-1 that we watched over the weekend. It's going to be on NBC Sports Network. It's going to be carrying the draw live at 5 p.m. today Eastern Time. So if you want to see who goes into which chute, then that will be tonight at 5 o'clock. And, of course, all the hoopla is beginning. The storms, I think, have taken up a lot of the coverage, but I think you'll start hearing more about the Derby on the regular news as the week goes along.
Well, they've been running commercials on NBC. They ran a lot of commercials last night for it. They're kind of odd commercials. They're not great Kentucky Derby commercials, but they're at least trying to promote it on NBC a little bit. Now, I do have a list of the names of the horses. It's really, really, really hard not to jump on California Chrome, jump on board with him, because clearly he's the best right now, and he's number one in the rankings. And he's definitely the heavy favorite. They've already had – he just flew into Louisville like 2 days ago. On Tuesday, they had to set up barricades around his stall because he's so popular. So people are swarming him at Churchill Downs already. Isn't that crazy?
Huh. I didn't realize that. Wow.
Well, that's – I follow – California Chrome and I are friends. We're Facebook friends. Okay. So, you know. I already know all this about him. But, yeah, I've got a list of the names. You want me to run through them real quick just so we can kind of pick a second favorite?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, we've got California Chrome. This is in order of the season rankings and not the season points, but the season rankings right now. California Chrome, Vickers in Trouble, Dance with Fate, Wicked Strong, love that horse, Sam Rat, Danza, as in Tony Danza, Opportunity, Intense Holiday, Wildcat Red, We Miss Artie, Ride on Curlin, Chitu, Tapiture, General A-Rod, Metal Count, Candy Boy, Uncle Cy, S-I-G-H, Vince Ramos, Harry's Holiday, and Commanding Curve is 20th. Now, they've got 23 horses listed. So they've got Pablo Del Monte, Social Inclusion, and Big Bazinga. I know you're pulling for that one.
Oh, Big Bazinga. I like that.
Might not make it in, though. So we will know officially tonight. And, of course, there's going to be a couple horses that are, you know, going to – what are the fill-ins, I guess, you know, if anything happens. But this is where you start bubble wrapping your horse. My God, we talked about bubble wrapping before Rolex. You got a bubble wrap. This is a cash prize here.
Well, there's some good names. I'm really going to have to think about which ones I want to pick here. There's some good names on that list. There's some fun names. Well, and we'll talk more about that. But importantly, the Courier-Journal, and there in Kentucky, the newspaper, put out a little thing where you could by putting in your date of birth and all that stuff, you know how they create names for you? Well,
uh-huh.
You could create your own derby name. So
nice.
Yeah, so I came up with the names. I put them all in and came up with, Jamie, your derby name, if you were a horse, would be Buttermilk Phantom. Buttermilk Phantom.
Oh, that's lame.
Well, Jen's is lame. Jen's would be Buttermilk Blaze. And I think you're both Buttermilk because your first initial, it asked for the initial of your first name, and you're both Jay. So I think that's why Jen got Buttermilk Blaze. I got the cool one. Mine is Cardinal Run.
That's like a real racehorse name.
Yeah, it is. Buttermilk is not a great name for a racehorse.
No.
Buttermilk, no.
But you know what? There's worse names of horses that I've owned. Hey, real quick, shout out to Edgar Prado, by the way. Did you see what he did over the weekend?
No.
I'm posting a link to the Horse Nation article. I've seen this all over the place, and Horse Nation's got, like, the still shot of it. Edgar Prado is galloping down, like, he's in a race. I don't know if he's on the backside, but a jockey next to him loses his reins. Okay, the reins are gone, which as a race, a jockey, you're dead meat. I mean, even not as a jockey, you're dead meat. So
right.
This jockey loses his reins, and you can see him, like, trying to reach forward to him. Edgar Prado, on the horse next to him, is galloping, reaches forward, grabs his reins, and flips the reins back to the jockey while he's running his race and still goes on to win. Edgar Prado wins the whole thing. So I'm posting that link on Horse Nation right now on our Facebook page. It's the link to the Horse Nation story. It's so cool. 40 miles an hour, just grabs the reins and hands them over. Tiny little stirrups, just awesome.
You know, I just watched the video of that, and he looks over, he sees the situation. Talk about situational awareness. He throws the reins back, and then a second later, he looks back to make sure the guy's okay.
Yeah. Really is. It was awesome. This guy's so cool. Jennifer,
that's amazing.
Yeah, so that's now on our, go to horsenation.com or look at it on our Facebook page. Jennifer just informed us that there are 8 horses listed in the Thoroughbred database named Buttermilk. God, you can Google anything.
And as we have not heard of any Buttermilks, that's how well they have done. So there you go.
Yeah, but it's a curse. It's a curse. I'm never going to run fast, Glenn. Dang it.
Never. Hey, you also, there was interesting. You go to the USEF, the United States Equestrian Federation, YouTube page, and they have all the videos from the weekend at Rolex, you know, that happened with the eventers and the reining. And, you know, some of the dressage tests and some of the cross-country runs and some of the show jumping. And, you know, the popular ones were at 2,000-3,000 views, that kind of thing. Then there's one that's at 70,000 views. And guess what fun that is?
It's at 80,000 now.
Oh, is it? Wow. And it's not cross country. It's at all, is it? Nope.
This was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. I posted it on YouTube because somebody had posted an ad, 85,000 now. This thing is getting very popular right now. And, of course, we're talking about Dan James, who wins the 2014 Reining Cup Freestyle Championship. Now, you mentioned this. You missed this, though. You left before this happened. Oh, my gosh. This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life as far as riding goes. And it is Dan James who is doing a reining pattern. And he is dressed as Johnny Depp's Tonto. He comes out to the music of the Lone Ranger and does a bareback reining. So he's bareback. And he gallops and he does the sliding stops and the spins. And, oh, then he turns around backwards and does tempi changes and spins and sliding stops, galloping backwards. Oh, but he's not done, because then he gets off, and the horse spins on hand signals. It was the most amazing, most impressive thing I've ever seen. So I've posted that on, I'll post that on, or did you post it on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page?
I did.
It's awesome.
I did. It is awesome. It's amazing that I've never, ever seen a horse do the spins by himself without a rider. I've never seen that.
It's so
and
cool.
By the way, how hard is it to do a sliding stop backwards? It's got to be difficult. I mean,
it's hard to walk backwards on a horse because it's totally opposite. All right, I
and
don't see it anywhere handy, so I'll put it up on the top of the page. It's
right,
so
cool. Yeah, it is cool. It was really neat, and I wish we had stayed for that. If we had known that Dan was going to ride, I would have stayed just to watch him because he always does something amazing. And yes, he should have definitely won the Freestyle World Championship with that ride. No question about it.
Yeah, it's so
one,
cool.
That's one they'll be talking about for a very long time. Well, we have Victoria is ready. So let's take a look.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
And we say good morning to Victoria Spicer. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Fantastic. We've had a busy weekend with Rolex here, and I know you guys have a big horse trial coming up, right?
We do indeed. Not long to wait till Badminton.
Man, absolutely awesome. The competition was fantastic. The U.S. riders really jumped out at us. So hopefully some U.S. riders can head over to Badminton and just take over. Because we can't win it. My God, we can't win it.
I think you need to seek revenge for William Fox Pitt and his and his perfect show jumping that meant that that poor other girl couldn't win.
Well, I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, okay, all we need is a rail down. All we need, you know, and I hate cheering against William Fox Pitt, and he comes out and jumps fence number one, and I'm like, yeah, he won. I'm like, there's
yeah.
He's so incredible, so incredible.
He
but
is.
You guys, I mean, y'all have just, like, you just take over the world with that guy, so it's really cool. Well, what's going on over there in England?
Well, aside from looking ahead to Badminton, we've had another winning eventing superstar over here, which is Zara Phillips, who had her baby a few months ago, and she's already had her first win since coming back to eventing. So very impressive to Zara.
Gosh, what did she win? Holy smokes.
Well, there was actually, it's been quite a wet few weeks, and she was meant to go into one event, and it got cancelled at the last minute, and all the riders are desperate to get their horses out at the moment, and so another event put on a special class for all these eventers, and they ended up getting all the superstars coming along, some of the ones that are going to Badminton. I don't think Zara's got an entry at Badminton this year. I think she decided it was too close to giving birth to go four star, so I think she's waiting a little while. But yeah, she we put on an extra section at Bicton Arena, and Zara went there, and she came first and ninth in the same section. So very impressive.
Holy cow! Now the intermediate, I'm looking at the picture of her jumping through, and it looks like it's intermediate here too. I think that's the same comparable level.
It's pretty huge, and we have advanced and then four star, so it's just one level below advanced. It's pretty high.
Okay.
same as three star, basically.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's man, just absolutely incredible. It just makes me feel lazy when you talk about her. But you know what, my God, she is royalty, for crying out loud. She's got a little help.
Yeah, you don't have a nanny, Jamie. That's what you're missing.
Oh, I do need a nanny. I bet she has a nanny like Mary Poppins. Why wouldn't you if you live in Europe and you're royal?
Maybe she just hands the baby to Granny, and Granny is the babysitter.
Oh, sure. I would imagine that Granny is like Jennifer with a baby. Like, just as a pastor. No, that's Jennifer. But you're queen. So now you've also got another show going on behind the scenes.
Yes, with our perennial favorites Carl and Charlotte are coming back onto Horse and Country in the next couple of months. We've got two new shows. So one of them is Carl and Charlotte Going Dutch, which is basically them in Holland looking for the next Velegro, and they go horse shopping. So if you've ever wondered what it's like to be an international superstar going off and buying your equine future partner, this is a great show to watch. And the other show that we have is An Evening with Carl and Charlotte, which was held in a theatre, and we had our usual presenter, Jenny Riddle, interviewing the pair on stage. And so if you fancy seeing all the backstage pictures and Charlotte and Jenny in makeup, head onto our website and you can see all the images there.
It shows you how good-looking they are, too, but also the fact that what's really cool is this is a Q&A with two writers held on an evening in front of an audience, and the whole freaking place was sold out. That's
indeed
how popular these guys are. That's amazing. Just amazing. You've got a show of them going horse shopping?
Yes. So that's premiering in a couple of weeks' time. It's called Going Dutch. And if you head to the video section on our site, there's a couple of clips on there from it. So you'll get a little flavor. There's a great one that I've added today, which is Carl Hester talking about a horse deal, that he went to this great big barn of his friend and trainer and chose a foal and bought it, and it caused all end of upset. So you have to watch the video to find out what happened.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm just thinking of, you know, say I've got a horse for sale. And somebody's like, yeah, I want to come see it. Okay, sure. And they get out of the car with cameras and lightmen and people. I mean, that's insane. How nervous, nerve-wracking. Like, don't screw up. Don't tell a lie. They'll come get you.
Exactly. Carl is so used to it. I made one of the programs with him and Charlotte, and we followed them for 10 days in the run-up to the Olympics. And he's just so natural in front of a camera. He never has to do another take. He's had cameras following him since he was about 18. So I think he just is so used to it, and he's a consummate professional.
Yeah, no, I feel sorry for the people that are selling the horse. All of a sudden, Carl Hester pulls up with all these creepy cameras.
Indeed.
And especially when it doesn't look anything like the Craigslist ad they put in.
I know, right?
Wait a minute. I don't think he's shopping on Craigslist, is he?
No. Probably not. So talk to us about his strange Miami moment. It's your video of the week.
Yes, so this was up a few days ago, but Carl came across to America for a little holiday, and he was sunbathing in the garden when he felt something pull his toe, and he thought it was like his friend that he was staying with, and he looked up, and it was a creature, and you'll have to watch the video to find out what it was. But it's not, I don't think this sort of thing should happen to Olympic gold medalists, so it's quite a funny video.
Something pulled on his toe, and you won't tell.
Now I have to watch it.
I know, me too.
I'll be back. I'm going to go watch this.
Glenn, make sure you don't tell everybody. They need to go watch it. And, of course, you can go see it on horseandcountry.tv. And what's your blog of the week?
We have a great blog from a young up-and-coming show jumper called Anna Edwards, and she has just had a really successful show with one of her young horses, and her blog is all about how it's worth battling through those years when he's 4 and 5 and playing up and bronking and misbehaving, and how you have to be patient, and eventually all your perseverance will pay off and they'll come good and they'll win Rosette. So if you're struggling with a youngster, go and read her blog and it'll inspire you.
Oh, sounds good. I definitely will. Well, Victoria, as always, it's a total pleasure having you on the show. We really appreciate it. And I've got to go stalk Carl Hester now on horseandcountry.tv.
Quite right, too.
All right, we'll
talk to
you next week, girl.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Bye.
Well, we're going to be back with our next guest right after this product of the week from Equestrian Collections. And then we're going to be talking horse health again with the good people at Rutgers University in just 1 minute. Hi, Glenn here, and I am back with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections product of the week.
This week I am featuring a group of saddle pads called the T3 Custom Classics 3. They come in several different styles. They come in all-purpose, cross-country, close contact, and dressage. But they have a few things in common. This is a pad that you can put shims into. They're orthopedic pads. And I'm not going to get too much into the specifics because there's a lot of reading on our website. our website has everything you need to read to get the perfect pad. You can pick the fabric. You can pick the impact that you want and the thermal balance that you want, and all of that is explained on this on the website. So I don't want to get into that. But what I do want to say is that I spoke to a lady last week who works with OTTBs, off-track thoroughbreds, and she could not stop talking about this pad because she says that, you know, so many of them come in with funny withers for whatever reason,
yeah,
and lack of muscle here and there. And she uses these pads, and she said she has absolutely been able to fit horses that doesn't fit anything else with this pad. And it changes. You know how a horse changes as he gets fit or gets, you know, gets some groceries, et cetera. And this pad can change with the horse. She loves it. And there's a girl in our office that is an eventer, and she's the one that turned me on to that and said, you should talk about this pad because it is so, so good for that. So I wanted to clue your listeners in. If you're having trouble fitting a horse and you know you don't want to buy a whole new saddle because you have him in work and you know he's going to be changing, or you may have an issue with him, read up on these pads, and we have every, you don't have to go to a whole bunch of different places. You can just come straight to our site and look up the T3 Custom Classics 3 pads.
And that's Toclat, of course, that makes these, and they've been making custom pads for 20 years now. They're the best ones out there. So go to equestriancollections.com and search for T3 Custom Classics. That's equestriancollections.com. Don't forget to follow them on Facebook as well. Well, we used to, for a long time here on the morning show, have a regular horse health segment on Wednesdays, and we're going to get back into that here. I know a lot of you have been missing that segment. And we're going to start it off with the good people over at Rutgers University Equine Science Center. Dr. Malinowski is joining us this morning to get us started off in our horse health segment again. Good morning, Dr. Malinowski.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you this morning?
I am terrific, and we're so glad that you could join us today and kick off our new evolution of horse health segments here. Now, you guys are going to be joining us once a month from the Equine Center over there at Rutgers. Tell us a little bit about Rutgers for those that don't know. We have listeners in a lot of different countries. First, where is Rutgers?
Well, Rutgers is in the Garden State, which is New Jersey. We are in the northeast corner of the United States, and we have one of the most intensive and popular equine science centers in the world. I mean, it is a global center, and we're very proud of what the Garden State has to offer for equestrians of all disciplines all over the world.
So do you have people going there that are looking at vet degrees later, or looking at careers in equine, you know, in equine anything?
The answer is yes. So we have undergraduates who certainly are interested in veterinary medicine, and they are pre-vet students. And then they, since New Jersey does not have a veterinary school, they go on to veterinary school after they graduate here with a bachelor's degree in animal science to almost any veterinary school that they want to go to. But importantly, Glenn, we also train undergraduates and graduate students to be the future leaders for the equine industry, to ensure that our industry that we all love remains sustainable. As you know, we meet challenges here at the Equine Science Center to ensure the well-being of horses and also the well-being of the horse industry, because I certainly realize that if there is no horse industry, then the challenges impacting people who love and use horses in their business or for sport and pleasure and recreation, those challenges become increasingly difficult because there isn't a support base to help those people meet those challenges. And so while our main focus is horse health and well-being, we also look at issues such as the environment, such as land use issues, and importantly, who are going to be those future leaders of the horse industry.
What kind of what kind of classes, what does the program consist of?
Well, so two things, Glenn, and that might be a story for another show. The center is not the academic unit of the Rutgers Animal Science Department's program. And so the center is Better Horse Care Through Research and Education. The center is a group of faculty, staff, students, partners from all over the world that we bring together, and as director of the center, I have the pleasure of bringing together a team of scientists to address a challenge of the horse industry. So to give you an example, there could be a horse health issue. Let's look at, say, aging. We know more about aging in the horse than any institution in the world. We have studied horses over the age of 20, the physiology of aging in those horses for over two decades. We partner with people at Gluck Center. We partner with people overseas. And so our graduate students also are engaged in that work. So the center can address an issue of horse health. Another thing, the horse industry sustainability. We led the effort in coming up with an economic impact study for the horse industry for the state of New Jersey that has now served as a model for states such as New York and Kentucky, which are just finishing their economic impact study. So that provided data and facts for people in our horse industry to talk to politicians, to talk to the general public about the socioeconomic importance of horses in our state, which is the most densely populated state in the nation. So the center looks at those kinds of challenges. The environment, people say that farmers aren't good caretakers of the land, that farmers are problems when it comes to the environment. There could be nothing further from the truth. But what we're doing here is collecting the data and showing policy decision makers and the general public that horses managed properly can be great stewards of the land. Or their caretakers can be great stewards of the land, not the horses themselves.
Right. Well, I know you've done a lot of different, you've done a lot of different research there. Is there one thing that when you did it, when you saw the results, that you personally said, wow, this is not what I expected, or this is just fascinating? Was there one thing that really jumps out at you over the years?
Well, Glenn, I'm just thinking, the fact that, yes, so the fact that a horse over the age of 20, the aerobic capacity, even though it declines as the horse ages, and especially after the age of 20. But what was fascinating is that the VO2 max, or the maximum aerobic capacity of a horse over the age of 20, is still higher than a human athlete who is an Olympic marathon runner. So people who say, oh, my poor old horse or whatever, I don't want to exercise it too much, it loves to work, and as long as it's able to continue to exercise, that was something that I had never expected, that the aerobic capacity of an old horse is still so great that when we compare them to a human athlete, a 25-year-old male marathon runner, the old horse can outrun that young whippersnapper.
That's interesting. And I've owned some very old horses before. So that is interesting, because we've seen some old horses older horses at Rolex approaching 20 years old. You see a lot of eventers still doing eventing into the mid-20s, and I guess that's why, is they still can. They don't lose that. They may lose a little bit of the edge, but they don't certainly lose it totally.
No, absolutely correct, Glenn. Horses, and at that level, like Rolex at the Olympics, look at Sapphire at 16. They mentally don't get in that zone of being able to compete at that level until they're in their mid-teens. And so for us to say that, oh, once a horse turns 15, it's no longer able to compete at that level, there's nothing farther from the truth. And actually the mascot of our Equine Signs for Kids is Lord Nelson, that 41-year-old quarter horse that is still alive and well. He certainly isn't jumping five-foot fences or running the barrels, but he still is running up to that gate every day and demanding his food.
Now, is there data telling us at what age a horse reaches peak aerobic capability? Is there a peak, or does that depend on the horse?
Well, it can, Glenn, and I would think that certainly based on what the horse did in its prior life would dictate that too. So I would say horses that are conditioned for racing, whether it be thoroughbred flat racing or standardbred harness racing, those horses are, you know, constantly at a peak aerobic performance demand. And so that versus a dressage
versus
horse.
Versus the quarter horse that's doing in hand.
Great point. you know what was coming out of my mouth in the
yes.
next
I thought
statement.
I'd say it for you.
So sure, those horses I think aren't ever challenged, you know, or trained to reach their true aerobic potential.
Right. Well,
unlike our racehorses.
Well, I was just going to say, speaking of racehorses, I know that you're involved in that world a little bit. Tell us about that.
Well, certainly a lot of the work we do here, Glenn, is to benefit racing horses, high-level performance horses of both breeds. I personally, after doing research with standardbred horses for 25 years, decided my midlife crisis at 50 was going to be to learn how to drive these things, and I will be driving a new trotter that I purchased this spring at the Meadowlands Racetrack on Friday night.
Really? As the jockey?
As a driver.
Yeah. That's really cool.
So it is very cool. It's amazing. And so a fun takeaway from us at the Equine Science Center, Glenn, is that we not only are doing work with these horses in a laboratory setting, all of us here, our students, our faculty, our staff, use horses in our personal lives as well, and we really practice what we preach, and we try to use what we learn here and bring that to, you know, our use of horses in the real world and field. But I'll tell you
okay.
what, going 35 miles an hour and not being able to see around a horse's butt is pretty exciting.
I always wanted to do that. I'm a driver, and I've always wanted to do that. I've driven some fast little ponies before, but never on a track. Like, I think that would be so much fun. What do you have to do do you have to get a license? What do you have to do to be able to, you know, hop on out there and actually drive a race?
No, absolutely. Different stages of licensing, Glenn, through the United States Trotting Association, and, you know, a beginner of an amateur driver can get a matinee or an amateur license, and you do just amateur races. But amateur racing has evolved to the point where these races are actually on the parimutuel card, and so you need to have a professional license either at a P level, which is a provisional driver's license, or as an A licensed full professional driver's license. So the amateur races are not what you might think. It's pretty kill, hate, mutilate out there, Glenn, and we don't unlike you know, real races where, you know, you might give your buddy a break today and, you know, you're going to get that back tomorrow. We don't give each other a break because we all want to win that race.
Hey, I have a question, though. As a silky driver, we just talked about Edgar Prado, who was galloping next to another jockey who lost his reins. And Edgar Prado leaned forward, grabbed the horse's reins, and flipped them back to the jockey. As a driver, do you think that would be something you guys would do, or it's like, let him go?
No, Jamie, I mean, you certainly would try, and that's where how important, as you guys know, in thoroughbred racing as well, the outrider is extremely, extremely important. problem with, you know, you can see you, when you're sitting in a sulky, there is your feet are just really pressed up against the dashboard. There is no, there's no any more place to, you know, put your foot. There's no seatbelt. And so what keeps you in that sulky going 35 miles an hour in this centripetal force that's carrying your body away are those lines. And if you ever lose your lines, you will be head over heels out of that bike real fast.
No, because,
you know, and that's where I say, you know, I've galloped thoroughbreds. I certainly have jumped. I've done every discipline in my lifetime. And racing is an adrenaline rush, you know, harness racing, because, number one, you really can't see around the horse where you're going. And you also, you know, you'll get a really good racehorse, and they see a hole between, you know, the pack, and they dive for that hole, but they don't realize that there's another, you know, 3-4 feet on the either side of them that they have to pull through that hole. And so you as the driver need to be cognizant not only of your horse, but of your surroundings. So it's, as Glenn said, Jamie, it's a case of bumper cars sometimes.
Man, you're awesome.
How do you see it? So if you can't see around a horse, you know, how do you find the hole? Is it up to your horse to find the hole?
Well, going around the turn, Glenn, you certainly can see. You know, you lean and you look around the side of the horse. A lot of times, you know, if you get a large horse, drivers will look through the horse's legs. It's a challenge, but I'll tell you what, when you're, because again, unlike you driving a pleasure, a competition horse where you're sitting up in, you know, a Meadowbrook or something, you can see over that horse's top line. You're sitting not only, behind the horse, but the sulky for aerodynamics is actually tilted downward. So you're sitting literally below the butt of the horse. So it's kind of exciting, and you know when the horse hits your feet, you know, when you're going full speed and the horse's hind legs start to hit you, or the person behind you, the horse is hitting you underneath your seat, and trying to hit your head, your helmet, the horse is that close to you, right on top of you, going at 35 miles an hour. It's exciting, but I don't necessarily want to talk about harness racing today.
I know, but you know, you hit a hot button with me. You hit a hot button with me. Well, let's continue talk. By the way, I want to race Jamie. I think that'd be fun, trying to bounce her off the track. But that's another story.
We can arrange that for you at Pompano Park.
Yeah, not going to happen. Not going to happen. After hearing you describe everything, I'm out. I'll sit
out
on the back of one.
No, Jamie, you go in. Go in a two-seater. Go with somebody real, and it's a blast. You call the Isle of Capri and make sure they let you do that.
Okay.
Well, we have a listener with a question. His name is Tom, and he has a question for you. Good morning, Tom. Yep.
Good morning.
You have a question for Dr. Malinowski?
And Dr. Malinowski spoke of amateur drivers. I'm wondering whether these amateur drivers, such as herself, have acquired any notable race times in their career.
Yes, amateur driving. Again, I said that we try to go as fast as possible, and I probably in 2005 set the all-time amateur club record at the Meadowlands of 155.4, which was at that date the second fastest time a lady has ever driven at the Meadowlands. But
woo!
Now there has been another lady, Stacy Chiodo, who does hold the female record of all time on any racetrack. She recently has done a 151.3 at the Meadowlands, so I'm now bumped into third place. But it certainly was a fast evening. It was a night that I will remember. And the mayor, for all of your listeners, Hug Me Christie, is Lord Nelson's pasture mate. And that is the love of Lord Nelson's life. And at 41, he still buys her Valentine's donuts and cookies and all kinds of great things. And that is his best bud.
Huh. Well, congratulations for that, and thank you for calling, Tom. We appreciate the question. Before we let you go here, I want to ask you about one thing, because you're involved in the health and everything that goes on over there at Rutgers. And in the future, you know, we wanted to get a little bit of an idea of what, you know, what you guys are all about today. In the future, we'll cover specific topics. But you are involved in racing, and, you know, one of the, you know, we have the carriage horses in New York, and a lot of the areas of the horse world are under fire. What do you think the state of racing is today, health-wise?
Glenn, you know, we're probably in the heart of it or the thick of it, because we do not have revenue from slot machines and table games and other casino-type wagering that is supporting the purse structure, which trickles down to the breeding structure, et cetera, you know, the land use. And so I'm constantly concerned. You know, I'm still using the 2007 economic impact numbers, because that is the latest that we have. But certainly New Jersey has felt the pinch as other sources of gaming in New York, Pennsylvania, of course, now Maryland, Delaware for a long time. You know, I mean, Yonkers Raceway continues to be the leader of any racino with annual income, and a percentage of that certainly does not only go into the purse structure, but what people forget is there's also a percentage of that that goes into marketing, infrastructure to build keep the facilities that the horses are racing on up to date, but also going into what we call in harness racing the sire stakes programs, and in thoroughbred racing the breeders' incentive programs, which where there are specific races for state-bred horses, awards for foals that are offspring of animals who are residing in those states. So people begin to invest in land, agricultural land, open space land in those states where the breeder incentive programs are the highest and where the purses are the highest. And so, you know, it's a challenge for us here in New Jersey. I think, you know, that challenge is only one of them. You mentioned the carriage horse industry. I think a take-home message for all of your viewers today is this, and this is what we pride ourselves on at the Equine Science Center, you must make decisions based on facts, not on emotions, not on what somebody thinks, you know, or something that you read in, you know, a magazine somewhere or saw in a movie or on a television show. And so whether it's the sustainability of horse racing in the state of New Jersey, or if it's the care and well-being of that racehorse, we are making our recommendations here based on science. And that's where I challenge all of my peers around the world, is that we really need to address horses and the horse industry as a whole, not just, you know, a specific area like, oh, nutrition or 4-H youth development, or, you know, so there are, our competitors have specialties in certain things. We've prided ourselves in the 12 years of the existence of the center of being able to tie all of this together, Glenn and Jamie, whether it be an economist, a parasitologist, an expert in immunology with my dear friend Dave Horhoff at Gluck Center in Kentucky. You know, we're not afraid to reach out and say, we realize we don't know everything about everything. But I certainly have been around long enough to know where to pick up the phone, who to call to get the best of the best on board with us to resolve an issue. And again, to through things like our website, which is extremely popular, provide data out there so that the general public can see it. So we are basing our statements on facts and not opinions. You know, I mean, I've been around a long time, Glenn, and, you know, we've gotten very careful at being sure that I'm not going to make a statement or a public statement or, you know, do I have an opinion on things? Sure, we all have opinions on everything. But when you are trying to be the voice of everything equine and base that on science, we have to be very careful what we put out there.
And the website is esc.rutgers.edu. We'll post that on our Facebook page as
Super.
Well. And Rutgers University Equine Science Center, somebody from there, one of those experts she was just talking about, will be joining us on the 4th Wednesday of every month and doing a segment on different topics as we go along. Thank you, Dr. Malinowski. We appreciate you being here. Fascinating talk.
Great. And wonderful weekend with a lot of racing and the Derby coming up Saturday. It's going to be a great day.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day, guys.
Well, that was Dr. Malinowski. It's so good to talk to her. I want to draw. I still want to do it. I don't care how dangerous it sounds. I still want to get in that sulky and go. Maybe preferably with nobody else on the track. I think that would be my choice.
I wanted to know who her pick was. She's an educated woman. Let's see who her Derby pick was. But
oh, I forgot. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
We don't need
sorry.
Educated people to help us with picks. That's never helped us in the past. What are you talking about?
True. This is true.
I want to thank all of our new auditors here that have become HRN auditors in the past week. Mona, Beth, Marcy, Wendy, and Angela all have signed up to become auditors and help support this programming here at the Horse Radio Network. We certainly appreciate that. If you would like to also lend your support and also get some benefits for it as well, hop on over to horsesinthemorning.com and click on the big banner in the middle of the page. And you can do that for as little as $1 a month and as much as you would like to, but for as little as $1 a month. We appreciate all of your support, and all the different benefits of being an auditor are listed there as well. You know, I thought today, I was thinking about what song to play, and, you know, Jamie, I thought, well, you know, there's a lot of people that have been affected by these storms, whether it's, you know, just minorly or in a major way. And I thought, what song could help comfort people the most that are dealing with another round of storms again today? And I came back to your old fallback. So this is dedicated to all the storm survivors out there or anybody who hasn't been affected. Go out and hug your horse today because you never know what's going to happen. So there's no better song for that than Girls and Horses.
She talks about them, dreams about them, thinks about them all the time. She's got to have them, be lost without them. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? She said, now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders.
That was Templeton Thompson and Girls and Horses. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. Well, it is that time of the day where we are going to play a little song.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, where each week a different unsuspecting world-renowned celebrity equestrian is pitted against a humble Horses in the Morning listener willing to risk it all for a prize package or a nod of approval from one of the greats from the equestrian universe. Now, let the battle of equestrian acuity begin.
That's right. It is time to play the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. We do this every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. We bring a different celebrity to you every single week. When this segment is sponsored by EquityMFG.com. And, of course, they are the maker of the finest manure forks around. I got to tell you, Jamie, when we were there, I don't know if you noticed this, right up the street, right up the aisleway from where we were set up to do our shows at Rolex, there was a booth that had some manure forks, some bizarre-looking manure forks. Do you remember seeing those as you walked by? They were
yes.
Well, I stopped and played with one of them when nobody was around one morning, and these were ones that have been coming out, and they're claiming to be the best manure forks around. I even forget what they're called. They're supposed to be the best manure forks around, you know, the newest thing, and they're better than anything else. Well, I know Joseph had bought one of these and did his scientific testing with it, and anybody that has been following the show for a while knows how they scientifically test these manure forks for
crap out of it.
Yes, exactly. They take them and beat the crap out of them on a concrete floor. Well, I know that these broke right away. Well, I took one of those tines, and the thing about these forks is you're supposed to be able to replace the tines when they break. Well, my first question with that is, why do you make tines that break in the first place?
Right.
That they need replacement. Isn't that the first question? When we've had our Equity manure forks now for 2 years, and I don't even have one that's a little bit bent, let alone breaking the tines, I've never even bent one. So, you know, that was my first thought. Well, I actually took and I bent one of these when they weren't looking, and it stayed bent. It was bent. I did it with my hand.
You broke one?
I didn't break it. I didn't want to go all the way to breaking it, but I probably could have with my hand broken. And then, you know, it just got me to thinking, we take for granted our manure forks that we use every day from Equity, and we don't even think about the fact that there are still crappy ones out there that break all the time. And, you know, because we've been using these for 2 years and wouldn't use anything else. So I'm just saying, when you see these other manure forks out there and they're claiming they do all of this and all of that and they have replaceable tines for when one breaks, well, why are you even dealing with all that crap when you can just get a really good one from Equity in the first place? So the flexing fork and the shaking fork, we have our listeners, many of our listeners have bought these and used nothing else. Hop on over to EquityMFG.com and find out why. Get yourself one today. And I know there's another person that uses an Equity fork, and that is the celebrity for today's game, our own Helena B. of the Stable Scoop Radio Show. Hi, Helena.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good.
We have an announcement to make, and that is coming up, Jamie, believe it or not, on August the 8th, we will be 6 years old here at the Horse Radio Network with the Stable Scoop Radio Show. We did our first episode August the 8th of 2008. So our sixth-year anniversary is coming up, Helena.
What are you going to get me?
Flex and fork. Hold out for a flex and fork.
I'll tell you, I cannot live without my flex and fork.
Well, then I'll get you one with a big red bow on it, okay? Then you'll have one for each hand.
That's fine. I'll take two. I'll put them to good use. People keep trying to steal mine.
I think we're going to do something special. We talked about this. Lena and I chatted about this, and I think what we're going to do is we're going to have a live anniversary show for the Stable Scoop Show and get a whole bunch of guests on and just have a good time with it. Really, I don't know about you. In some ways, it seems like 6 years, and in other ways, it seems like just yesterday we chatted about doing a show.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun. We've had a really good time with it. So I you know what though? I can't remember what I had for breakfast, and it's only 10 a.m. So when did we start this? 6 years ago? Okay, if you say so.
I know it does seem when you're just dealing with who's coming up on the next show, you sometimes forget all the many guests we've had on and everything. So
when you ask me to pick my favorite episode, I have to go into our archives and actually read the list because there have been so many that you can't remember, and then you get nostalgic. You're like, oh, I remember that episode, and oh my gosh, we were around back in 2008. So yeah.
Well, you have another reputation too, and Janie's going to be happy to hear this. You have another reputation too, and that is being the host with the most bloopers. And our first episode of our special auditor blooper episode is going to be coming out this week to our auditors. And guess who is featured the most?
Ha! You.
No, you, Helena. You kind of have a lot of bloopers.
But Jamie's got a daily show. Come on.
I know.
My daily show is a blooper, Helena. I mean, my God.
Oh, you poor girl. You're right. You can have my anniversary gift, whatever it is. I'll give it to you. I'm having to deal with it every single day.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Thank you, Helena, for joining us. We really appreciate it. You have a charity that you're playing for today.
I do. It's the Equine Rescue Network. Hope for Horses and the Equine Rescue Network. They are actually an electronic network of equine advocates that work together to help slaughter-bound, neglected, and abandoned horses in the United States. And I guess they're most effective at creating awareness and actually, I mean, they go down and they pick up horses from from the auction houses. But they do a great job of spreading awareness and networking people to help get these horses out of bad situations.
Awesome. And we have occasionally been at the auctions when they've been there, buying up the ones that really, truly were going to be going for slaughter, and they take the cases, in a lot of cases that nobody else wants. So they really do good work. So thank you for picking them. And we are going to meet your competitor today, and her name is Jody, and she is from Ohio. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning.
Hi, Jody.
How do you say your last name, Jody? I didn't want to mess it up.
Everybody slaughters it. It's Hoke.
Hoke. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Jody, I know that you post a lot on our page, and we really appreciate you coming on at the last minute. Actually, we had somebody lined up that had signed up to play today, and they had to bail out because of storm damage. They had to deal with that today. So we appreciate you joining us at the last minute. Now, did I see on your Facebook page, I was stalking you a little this morning, that you have minis?
Yes, we have about 20 minis. Two of them are in full and under camera. We're waiting for them to have their babies.
Wow, 20 minis. That's a lot of minis.
It is. It's not as many as we used to have, though. We were up to almost 40 at one point.
Whoa!
Wow. That's fun. That's like your entertainment.
They're a lot of fun. We drive them, and we're in Amish country, so we go on the rail trails.
Oh, wow.
And my next venture is going to be a pair. I just got my pair harness, and my mares don't like each other much, so this could be very interesting.
Oh, you're taking the two that don't like each other and putting them together?
Yeah, because my other option is a pair of geldings who don't like each other, so we'll see how it goes.
Sounds like my house at Christmas time.
Well, this is really cute. Talk about a farm full of cuteness, a farm with 20 minis. There's a farm full of cuteness.
Yeah, they all look like yaks right now.
I bet they do. You need a good pair of clippers when you have 20 minis.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jody, thank you so much for agreeing to play. You could use this prize. If you win today, the prize is the Epona Perfectly Trimmed Package. And that features a trio of scrubby bath cloths and one each of the ultimate and all-purpose mitt with a pony's perfectly primped pies pack. You will have the ultimate tools for cleaning and massaging. I use these on Scooter, actually. The scrubby bath cloth, ultra mitt, and all-purpose mitt are all effective for removing sweat marks, scrubbing out dirt and grime during baths, and bringing out the natural glow when used for gentle massage. You can find all of Epona products at your local tax store or opponentproducts.com, and that is worth $50. And I'm sure that the charity that's rescuing these horses could use this package as well, because the first thing you do when you get them home is give them a bath. So I think that is going to be a perfect prize for the charity as well. So now, Helena, no pressure, but you have to win.
Gosh. But I got a lot of dirty horses.
That's true. You probably do. All right. Jamie, explain the rules.
Okay, guys. The way that it works is I am going to ask you each a series of questions. We are going to go one at a time. Jody's going to go first, and then I'm going to head to Helena. And there's three questions each. Okay, so we'll start with Jody. If we need a tiebreaker, we have one, and I'll explain that when we get to it. Does that sound good, you guys?
Sure. Sounds good.
Do y'all watch Hollywood Game Night? It comes on Thursday nights. It's on NBC.
No.
No. Okay, this is like my new favorite show because I totally feel like a game show host. I feel like I should be on Hollywood Game Night. When I host this program, I'm like, okay, now we're moving to the questions. So if you haven't seen that, it's really entertaining. Jane Lynch is the host, and it's really good. And I feel like Jane Lynch today. Except for that. Excuse me. All right, so we're going to head to Jody first. Your question is true or false? Okay, true or false? The Snickers candy bar was named after one of founder Frank Mars' horses.
Ooh. Oh, boy, 50-51 there. I'm going to say false.
Oh. Oh, no. I mean, come on. How many horses in history have been named Snickers? I think it's perfect.
I'm thinking they get named after the candy bar.
That's probably true in most cases. Sorry, the answer is actually true. And as we all know to this day, Miss Jacqueline Mars continues to be involved in the horse industry as an owner and breeder of high-level horses in the eventing world and also just gave $500,000 to the U.S. Eventing Association. So she is still very deep in the horses. And as I said as well when I was thinking, I'm like, Jacqueline Mars, she just did something newsworthy. Oh, she got a DUI. So she's still driving herself around, too. My God.
Why don't rich people have drivers? Why do we hear about rich people getting DUIs? I would have a driver. I would so have a driver.
Ask Lindsay Lohan that question. My God, Britney Spears, how many times do you need to drive with your baby in your lap till you get a freaking driver? Come on. All right.
I know Helena would have a driver. I know that. She'd be sitting in the back seat.
Until they didn't drive the way, until they annoyed me, and then I'd be like, get out, I'm driving myself.
They'd be like, listen, drunk girl, sit in the back, we're taking you home. That's the way it works.
Yes, you got my number.
Yep. All right, Helena, your first question. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. No, go ahead.
All right, so we are going to also give you a true-false opportunity here. True-false Helena. To take the lead. Early on, a horse was one of the playing tokens in the game of Monopoly. True.
That's right.
That is true. A rocking horse was the playing token in 1937. So, yes, that is true. All right, so now we head back up to Jody. Jody, you've got to get this to stay in the game here. This one, again, you gave the 50-50 option. Now you've got a 33 1/3% chance because it is a multiple choice question. No Googling allowed. All right, multiple choice. Which of the following is most closely related to the modern horse? Is it A, a camel, B, a rhinoceros, or C, a giraffe?
Oh. Camel, rhinoceros, or giraffe?
Which one's most likely related, most closely related to the horse? We're going to need your answer.
Yeah. Boy, toss a coin. I don't have a three-sided coin, though. Rhino?
That's right.
Oh, my God.
I know.
That is true. The rhinoceros, the one you think would be the least likely to be related, is actually the most. It is the rhinoceros. I can't believe that a rhino is closer related to the horse than a camel or a giraffe. That's crazy.
That's why I picked it. Least likely to be true.
They're the most related to the quarter horse because of the fat butt.
Oh, you
God. But they don't have tiny feet.
Oh, true.
That's true. Oh, my gosh. You're killing the quarter horse today.
Hey, we own a quarter horse. Don't write me emails.
Bless your heart. That's what we like to say. All right. Now we're going to go to Helena. Helena, you also have a multiple choice question. No Googling. Here is your question. And this it currently is tied at 1-1. The term horsepower was first used as a standard unit of power by what steam engine pioneer? Okay, the steam engine pioneer who used horsepower as a standard of measurement is A, James Watt, is it B, Thomas Newcomen, or C, Robert Fulton? This is just a guess. My God, this is like the hardest question ever.
What was the first one?
James Watt, Thomas Newcomen, or C. Robert Fulton?
Thomas Newcomen.
Believe it or not, it's James Watt. Who knew that the Watt measurement?
I would have guessed Robert Fulton.
Yeah, I wouldn't have picked Watt, so I would have gotten that wrong twice.
All then right. I could have won.
Well, we're tied right now. We are tied at 1-1, and we're going to move on to the third question. This is where you have to, you know, use your brain, and we need to be a little quicker about this time, Jody. The first miniature horses, you're going to get this, were imported into the U.S. in 1962 by Regina Winery. Now, spell Falabella.
Falabella. Falabella.
Ah! Oh, there's only one L in the first part. Falabella. Very good guess. Very good guess. Don't worry. We're going to screw Helena on this one, too. All right, Helena, your question. The hippopotamus is a herbivorous, how do you say that? Herbivorous, stubby-legged mammal whose Latin name means river horse. Spell hippopotamus.
Ooh, hippopotamus. H-I-P-P-O. Hippo. H-I-P-P-O.
Come on, hippopotamus.
Well, stop it. You're distracting me.
Oh, the hippopotamus.
H-I-P-P-O.
H-I-P-O-T-M.
No, wait. No.
Hippopotamus. Oh, my God. Get it wrong.
No. I'm not done. That's cheating. H-I-P-P-O-P-O-T-A-M-U-S.
Too late. You had 5 seconds and you failed. You started over 19 times. And in the game of the, when all the kids stand up for the spelling bee, they don't get to start over. Okay. You didn't. You started over 15 times. Okay.
All right. Now she shows a racket.
See, Jody, we love you. All right. So we're going to go to the tiebreaker here. And the tiebreaker is, it's called Name That Movie. Name That Movie. I am Hollywood Game Night all the way. Name That Movie, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to start reading clues off. And Jennifer's written a bunch of clues, but I'm going to give you some of my own, too. So I'm going to read the clues, and as soon as you know the movie that I am talking about, you're going to yell out your name. Your name is your buzzer, and then I will call on you, and you can answer. Okay? Do we understand, Jody and Helena?
Yep.
Yep.
All right, 2 yeps. Name that movie. The horse in the movie's name was Denny.
It starred Tom Berlinson. Tom Berlinson's character was named Jim Craig.
Oh.
The prize colt from Magret was set loose to discredit the main character, Jim Craig. And as he's galloping straight down the mountain to bring back the Brumbies, how are you guys not getting this? He gallops down the mountain to bring back the Brumbies. He does it all by himself. Clancy was back at the barn because they'd all given up. My God, you're both.
I can picture what the movie is.
Well, don't worry. Because
see, I can picture the scene when he's galloping down the hill.
That's not going to help you, Jody. Come up with the movie title. They did have a
Man from Snowy River.
Yes.
Ah. You know what makes this really bad? I watched this for the first time 3 weeks ago.
Oh no.
Because you know what? It was like a math question. This is like two trains. One leaves Chicago and one leaves New York, and they're both traveling at 55 miles an hour.
I never got this.
Just eating meatballs on one train. When will the trains meet in San Francisco?
Put her on mute, Glenn. All right, listen.
Helena, I can't believe that you've seen that movie one time. That's my favorite movie of all time. And I was like, I did pretty good acting it out, I thought. I thought it was pretty awesome. And if you didn't know, the second movie you have to watch, Helena, is The Return to Snowy River, where Jessica's father is a completely different person. But it doesn't matter because it was filmed like 10 years later. So he put on like 200 pounds. Congratulations to Jody, our listener,
yay.
Is the winner. Glenn, go over what she's won one more time.
We're going to send you the mini version of the Epona Perfectly Primped Package. So you're going to get the scrubby bath cloth, the ultra mitt, and the all-purpose mitt. All will help you wash those 20 little minis up. Let me tell you, you're going to get a lot of use out of this, Joni. This is worth $50.
Sure, I will. Thank you very much, and I'll post some before and after pictures.
Yeah, do that, actually. Yeah, we would love to see your mini. And we're going to put you on hold. Jennifer's going to get your address so we can get that shipped out to you. So hold on. Thank you for playing. Okay. We appreciate it. Helena, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm sorry you can blame Jennifer, you're one of your best friends, because she screwed you over big time today.
Hey, that's what friends are for.
Oh, Helena, you're so funny. God, you crack me up. It's been awesome having you on. Thank you so much for coming
on
our show. And you're welcome back anytime. And I promise I won't put you on mute, but more than three times.
Okay. Thanks, darling. Bye, guys.
Yeah, bye.
Can I just tell you something, by the way, that has been making me absolutely crazy? There we have smoke detectors that are located throughout the house, like on the roof, and one of them is freaking beeping and needs a new battery. I've been running around, taking them down, pulling batteries out, and I still haven't found the one freaking one that beeped all night long and is still beeping now. I'm gonna lose.
And why do they always start doing that in the middle of the night? They never started at noon. They always started at midnight. I think it's a conspiracy. I'm convinced because you're right. There's nothing more annoying because what happens when you're laying there in bed is you hear the beep and you think, well, I go to bed with TV on. I can put that noise out of my mind. But no, your mind waits for the next beep and it tries to time it.
This one, again, it's getting longer because they started out like really, you know, like a light beep, and then they're like get longer and more frequent. Oh, my God, I'm losing my mind.
I know, and it is true. That little thing just drives you absolutely insane.
I'm starting
to
twitch.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Well, we are going to call it a day here. We had a lot of other news we didn't get to today. We'll have to, I don't know. We just didn't have time to get to it.
Let me just let you know real quick, Glenn, if you were thinking of, let me just tell all of our listeners, I have got to maintain radio silence after the show Friday all the way through Sunday night. I'll tell you why. I'm taking a group of six girls camping because Chad leaves town on Friday, and I'm taking six girls camping with horses. I know it's insane, to the Bumblebee Ranch.
I don't know what possessed me to do this, but I didn't realize it's one of the girls' birthdays and she's really sweet. And I thought, well, that'd be fun to all of us to go, blah, blah, blah. Her friends don't live here, so I'm taking her. And it's Derby Day. And I planned this so long ago that I didn't realize it was Derby Day. So I will be out of contact come Saturday morning until, because I'm DVRing all the pre-show and everything, I will be watching it Sunday night. So do not text me the winner of the Kentucky Derby. Do not Facebook it to me. I'm just not going to be able to look at Facebook. I'm just going to be gone.
No, you won't be able to watch Facebook. No. Yeah, you got to avoid Facebook because that'll be 100 posts about that.
Please, Glenn, don't text me and ruin it. I'm DVRing everything.
All right. I'm glad you warned me because I would have been, you know, I would have been texting you. Are these teenage girls, by the way?
Oh, my God, every single one of them, from the age of 13 to 19.
What possessed you to do this?
I don't know. Chad was going to be out of town, and I felt like I needed to do something entertaining, and
it'll be entertaining, I guarantee you that.
You know, I do things for the show. I'm like, well, this would be a good story to tell. And so, yes.
It'll be a good story.
And I'm taking Edward.
I don't even mean more of a story.
Exactly.
Are you the only adult? Are you the official chaperone?
Oh, yeah. And Lucas is coming, too, by the way.
Oh. Well, how's he going to go riding?
I have a babysitter at the ranch that's going to watch him when I ride.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, is this that same place you and Chad went a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, the same place. Okay. And I thought, well, this would be a great place to someday take the girls. And then one girl's like, it's my birthday, and she just moved here, and she's like, doesn't have any friends. And I'm like, oh, we'll go riding. And then I thought, well, I'll take him to the ranch. And then I've lost my mind. It's insane. I'm like an idiot.
Well, thank you, everybody, for taking a listen today. We appreciate it. We'll have a recorded show for you tomorrow. And then we will be back here live with our special Derby episode here on Friday. Frankie Lovato will be joining us. Reese Koppler-Stanfield will be joining us with a drink in hand from the parking lot of Churchill Downs. So we have a lot to look forward to on Friday's show. Jamie and I will be talking about all the different horses and the stories, and we'll be giving you a rundown if you haven't had time like us to spend a whole lot of time on the Kentucky Derby. We'll try and give you a primer on Friday. And then also really bad ads. If you have any really bad ads that you need to get in, send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Get them in by the end of the day tomorrow. And we'll try and get what we can included in Friday's show. And, of course, we have had we had a week off, so we're going to have, I'm sure, a terrific batch of really bad ads on Friday. And don't forget, you can follow us. The easiest way to listen to us actually is on our app. Go download it, iOS or Android store. Just search for Horse Radio Network. Don't search for Horses in the Morning. Search for Horse Radio Network. And the Horses of the Morning show is on the Horse Radio Network app, along with all 11 of our other shows, including Helena's, by the way. If you have never listened to Stable Scoop, Helena and I have been doing that for 6 years. We have a lot of fun, and you can head on over to StableScoop.com. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day, everybody. Try to go ride a horse if you can, if the weather's not too terrible. We're thinking of being spay, neuter, geld.
Wear your helmet when you ride. You're hiding in your house. Either one.